Welcome back to another episode of the School Podcast, where today I'm talking to Marcus Coleridge, who attended the school having joined in 2006 and he left in 2021. We're going to hear about his journey, how the school helped him off to university, and what he's planning on doing next in his life. Now, do persevere with this conversation, because around about halfway through, we get a charming leaf blower outside the window where Marcus is speaking. We did choose to keep on going through the recording, and you'll be glad to know that the delightful leaf blower didn't stick around for too long. No offense to him. But do join us now for this podcast recording. It's great to talk to Marcus Coleridge.
Welcome to Mount Kelly Conversations, the podcast from Mount Kelly in Devon. In each episode, we have conversations with pupils, with staff, and with other people in the school community to find out more about life at the school. Come with us now as we get right into this episode.
Marcus, welcome to this episode of the School Podcast. Thank you for being here. How are you today?
I'm really well, Simon. Thank you for having me on.
Well, it's great to have you here, and must be interesting for you being back in school again. When was the last time you were in school?
Do you know, it was actually quite recently. I snuck into a staff concert that I wanted to perform at a couple of weeks ago. But before that, I've been away at university for the past 3 years. So it's actually really nice to be invited back to the school, because I always like keeping connections down here in Tavistock.
Oh, well, that's really good. That's kind of you to give up your time to do this. We're going to be exploring a little bit about your journey going through Mount Kelly, and then finding out about what you're doing now, and then what you're planning on doing a little bit later in life, what comes next for you. It's a little bit like this is your life. So I believe you joined Mount Kelly in 2006 and you were 3 years old then. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, I moved down to the West Country with my family after living in Australia for a year. So I originally started at what was then Mount House, before Mount Kelly, at the pre-prep there, which seems like a really, really long time ago now. But yeah, I really loved my days there. It was a fantastic campus. And yeah, it just sort of continued from there on to Kelly Prep. And then at the time of the merger into Mount Kelly, I moved up to the college.
Now, I must just back it up a little bit. What was it that brought you, with your family, I presume, from Australia to the UK?
Well, my father was originally born in Tavistock, and he's a surgeon and worked in London and Bristol, and did a year of training out in Australia. And then somehow the Southwest always has a way of bringing people back. We wanted to come home to roots, and Dad landed a job in Plymouth, and yeah, this was the obvious choice. So that's how I came down this neck of the woods.
Now, it sounds to me, from the way that you're talking, like you enjoyed your time at school, and I'm kind of working on that assumption, partly because you're back here on a podcast recording, which is, you know, given the fact that you're
You'd
here,
hope.
Doesn't it? Yeah, exactly that, yeah. But also, it's interesting that some children, when they go through school, will jump from one school to another, whereas clearly you stayed at, you know, putting mergers to one side for a moment, you've largely stayed at the same school all the way through. Tell me about how you felt about doing that when you look back on it, compared to the idea of jumping from one school to another.
I guess at the time, I didn't really know any different, and that was the way it was. But as you say, looking back in retrospect and having met people now at university that have done it a whole sort of different way and have jumped between schools, I actually think there's a lot to be said for the security of being in the same place and the sense of home, because the school really did feel like a home to me. And I was just thinking as I was coming back up the drive, I now don't recognize anybody at the school, and it kind of feels like you're looking at your old house with the new people that have just bought it.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah.
And somewhere that is so familiar, but that it really did symbolise a sense of home, and I was very much connected with the place as well, with the town of Tavistock and Dartmoor. So at the time, I didn't really think anything differently of it. But in retrospect, I'm grateful for the stability that brought my life, I think.
And just for the sake of people listening, the A-levels you did there at school, which ones did you choose?
So I did quite an eclectic mix of music, English and physics, which was a slight outlier. And I was one of two pupils that did physics without maths, which which my teacher questioned me on. But actually, I really enjoyed doing that. And I'm grateful that the school did allow me to do that, because it gave me quite a broad education in both humanities size, allowed my sort of creative side to come through with the music, but also managed to keep math skills going to quite a high level. And I'm into astrophysics and enjoy sort of theoretical physics. So being allowed to pursue that was, you know, something I was very grateful for.
But of course, you didn't study astrophysics at university. I believe you did music, which explains why you did music at A-level, of course.
Exactly. Yeah, music was definitely the way I was going to go. Although it was a late decision to do that. It was not something, you know, I did think initially that I would go into something more physics-based, but actually, but my maths didn't quite come up to scratch. The singing was just what I really enjoyed doing here with my time at Mount Kelly. I was a part of the chamber choir led by Julian Jensen at the time. And that, I realized that I just wouldn't be happy doing anything else. And so I went to university to do music, and I was the only one in my year to go on to study music at degree level. And at Royal Holloway University, I became a choral scholar there, and I sang with a choir for 3 years, and I just had the most fantastic experience working on professional recording projects and some amazing concerts and singing every day of the week. That was something that really, I consider myself in a very lucky position to be able to call the profession I want to go into a passion. And I think Mount Kelly really set me up well for that with the chamber choir. I was really lucky at the time with the cohort that I had. My fellow pupils were also excellent singers, and we were able to put a really, really fantastic choir together. And we made it through whilst at school to the finals of BBC Songs of Praise. And we did, which was fantastic. Although unfortunately, it was cut short because of COVID. We made it through in 2020, and we had the film crew to come do the backstory, but we never actually made it to the studios to record the final, unfortunately, because of COVID. But also that year, just before COVID, we won the Barnardo's, the children's charity. We won their National School Choir of the Year competition at the Royal Festival Hall in London. And when we won that also gave us the chance to sing at their annual gala concert at the Royal Albert Hall.
Gosh.
Which was a really amazing experience. And so things like that, that music gave me through the school, and I think music and the choir gave me a real sense of belonging and a sense of purpose. As I know other students did here with the swimming. I mean, the swim team is a massive part of this school. But for me, and I did swim with the swim team for 4 years, but the choir gave me a sense of belonging and sense of achievement that I really wanted to replicate going forward. And I found that made my transition to university so much easier when I had that choir. When you're thrown into an organization of so many thousands of people and you don't know where to start, if you've got the choir, you've got something that you belong to, then you've got an immediate group of friends and something that you're sharing a common interest in. And I found that really important.
Now, sometimes when students are at school doing A-levels, they have a passion in something like music, but they're sometimes encouraged, possibly by parents, to study something more traditional. You mentioned that your father was a surgeon, so, you know, be encouraged to go and study astrophysics or medicine or something like that at university, but then to pursue the passion in leisure time while at university. Two questions for you. Did you feel that pressure, not necessarily from your parents, but from anybody at all? And secondly, how did the school encourage you to follow that passion that you had?
Okay, so I guess that's two part. I'll start with the parental question. I think in the case of my parents, when they could clearly see that it was something that I really wanted to do, I think my parents have always come from the perspective of whatever you do, just do it to the best of your ability. And so they weren't necessarily so fussed about the subject of what I was doing, despite my father being perhaps a more traditional background and going, okay, I'm going to go do medicine. And music perhaps is a little bit alternative in that respect. But I think the school was actually a really fantastic facilitator of that wish, because despite being a small music department, it actually allowed me to flourish and thrive in a way that I think I would have struggled to do anywhere else, because it gives you that big fish in a small pond sort of feeling. And the sense of community that I found at the school was something that was actually really, really important. The music department put on a number of concerts throughout the year, and as I say, with something like the choir, being so small, as with my A-level class was only four students, but actually that gave me so much one-on-one attention.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
And so, yeah, whilst you could come from the argument that Mount Kelly's got a very small performing arts department in the Southwest, actually, that actually does have a lot of benefits because it does give you that ability to thrive and feel successful within quite a small group of people. So, it does allow you to flourish and boost the confidence.
And then when it came to choosing which university to go to, how did the school help you in identifying where the best fit was going to be for you?
Well, we had weekly classes on UCAS and the application process. For me, I looked to my music teachers, and particularly Julian Jensen, who was the director of music at the time, who was a professional opera singer before coming to teaching. And he also went to Royal Holloway and was a chorister there and then went to the Royal Academy. And I sort of saw, and I found him a very inspirational character, both for his voice and what he'd done with his career. And so for me, the focus of where I started to look was actually largely based around what singing opportunities I could find at these universities. So I found him and the other music staff in particular really helpful towards that. And I was very grateful to their help for that. So, yeah.
So outside of music then, what else did you do to spend your time? Extracurricular activities, I'm thinking.
Yeah, I like to fill my time with everything else, really. I didn't really have a spare minute. And I think the school is a fantastic facilitator of all sorts of different activities, whatever you want to do. Mm. And so I got involved with the 10 tours. Or was that? Is that?
Yeah, we got a leaf blower outside.
We've got
we
a leaf blower.
We can keep on recording.
We can keep on recording. yeah. So the thing for me was the 10 tours and the access to Dartmoor, which was just priceless for me. And so with the 10 tours, for those that aren't familiar, you are trekking across Dartmoor. It's run by the army camp at the Okehampton base. And you're trekking across Dartmoor over the course of a weekend. The idea being to do 10 tours for 35, 45 or 55 miles. And so I achieved the 55 mile 10 tours in my sixth form. And that was something that that you're put through these challenges at Mount Kelly and given the opportunity to do these challenges that, okay, you might look at it and think, well, that's just weekends worth of suffering and your legs hurt and it's just, you know, why would you do it? It's in Devon, it's raining, it's muddy, it's cold. But actually, that gives you a different perspective on so many other aspects of your life. And I'm a runner, I always have been. And sport and expeditions is something that's been fostered at Mount Kelly for a really long time and something that was ingrained into me for sure. And I really enjoyed the opportunity to push myself physically as well as mentally, which I think when you're given the opportunity to push yourself physically, that actually allows you to push yourself mentally in new ways as well. It gives you confidence in yourself in what the human body's capable of. You know, when it's -2 and it's 5 a.m. and it's raining outside and you've got to get up and walk, you know, 20 miles the next day, that builds something inside you. That builds a spirit. Mm. And I think that's what the Mount Kelly spirit is all about, really. And that's what I try to take forward from it, is that grit that is given to you by these experiences.
And the school often does a lot of sailing as well. Did you get involved in that?
Yeah, I loved the sailing. My father, as well as being a surgeon, raced for many years and instilled that passion in me. And the school had a fantastic partnership with a beautiful old, now I'm going to get this right, I think it's 1912 Bristol Channel pilot cutter called Olga. And classic looking pirate ship, all wood, lots of ropes, lots of rigging. And
brilliant.
She's about 65 feet long, absolutely beautiful, beautiful yacht. And had been lovingly kept by a museum in Swansea. And the school had been given license to use it in collaboration with Sailing Tectona, an organization in Plymouth. And I went on a voyage with this yacht as part of the school in my sixth form, and we did a race called the Small Ships Race from Southampton all the way outside the Isle of Wight, round the wrong way into the English Channel, and then back into Dartmouth. And the whole race took us nearly 48 hours and was a really grueling event. You didn't stop sailing for that amount of time.
Gosh.
And we had some really rough weather, and to do the whole trip, because we had to take the boat from Plymouth up to Southampton. It was a 10-day expedition, the whole trip, with about 12 of us on board. And that was a really, really important trip for me in terms of my sailing career. And since then, I went back to volunteer with the organisation, with Sailing Tectona. Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. And the following summer, I signed myself up as a sail trainer. And I went back as a second mate for two week-long voyages on board the yacht, which was really, really fantastic for me, because the school initially made that connection, but actually fostered something that I then thought, actually, do you know, I'm going to run with this. And so I was really grateful for that connection being made with Sailing Tectona. It was something I really enjoyed.
Let's take it back to music for a second. You mentioned about being in the chamber choir. What pieces of music do you remember singing when you were in that chamber choir?
Do you know, funnily enough, the one that comes straight to mind is one from the opening sequence of the Disney movie Frozen.
Oh, gosh, I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, and well, it's some of the music in that movie is quite clever. And one of the pieces at the beginning is a take on, it's a Norwegian folk song set to the harmony and some of the text of the English hymn, Fairest Lord Jesus. And this created a really, really beautiful blend, and it sort of had this repeated bass figure. And this piece is what won us the Barnardos National Choir competition. And this is what we sang at the Royal Albert Hall. So this piece will always hold a really special place for me. And when we sung it to death, and I could probably sing it to you in 30 years' time, and it would still be straight off the top of my head.
And if I remember rightly, that's the one that's almost like men singing while they're working. Is that the one?
Yes, vaguely. So the opening figure goes sort of, na 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 hey yeah, na, and you have this continuous figure which is the Norwegian, and we sang in Norwegian throughout it, and then the higher voices, the sopranos and the altos, sing the tune of the hymn. And so that piece was always one that was a favorite with audiences as well. That always got a very warm response.
I'm sure that'll always
stick with me.
And I was going to ask you which language you enjoy singing in the most, but you just mentioned Norwegian. I never would have guessed that Norwegian would have been a word that featured on this podcast recording at all. But which language do you enjoy singing? Would it be German or Italian or English, or maybe something like Norwegian or Russian or something like that?
Do you know, in my time at Royal Holloway, I've sung in a huge number of languages. I've sung in Russian, in Old Slavic, in Norwegian. We did a fantastic project. I was very lucky to work with the Norwegian composer, Ole Jelo, on one of his new albums. And we did a recording with the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra and Ole Jelo himself on the piano and the choir of Royal Holloway. And we had to do quite a lot of singing in Norwegian. And it's a fascinating language, because in Northern European languages, there are vowel sounds that are not made in the English language. So you have to, and that we don't pick up from birth. We don't learn how to do them. It's the same in French. I mean, there's 18 different vowels in French. And so when you're singing in these languages, you actually have to learn to move your tongue, your jaw, and your lips in ways that you don't have to in English. So it's kind of like learning to talk again. And we had an amazing speech coach from the Royal Opera House, Sonia Nerdrum. And it was a really fascinating experience. It's a beautiful language. I'd say if I had to pick a favorite language to sing in, I do love French. I do love German. German's lovely because German follows rules. And though spoken, German can sometimes be harsh. When sung, it's a really beautiful language, actually. It focuses, it's very consonant focused. And Italian is totally the other end of the spectrum. It's very vowel focused. And French doesn't really know what it is, and I'm still trying to work out how to sing in French. But again, when done correctly, is a really, really beautiful language to sing in. So yeah, I think to pick out a favorite is difficult. I'm still very much learning how to do all of these different languages and how to do them justice when performing them.
Well, I think you're doing very well with all of this, Marcus. I really do. Okay, so music degree at Royal Holloway. What comes next then?
Well, this is the big question. For me, the real passion is is to perform and is singing. And at the moment, I'm applying for a master's degree to hopefully go to do opera school, so specific opera training at the Royal Academy of Music or the Royal College of Music in London. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so that's the dream. And the application was sent on Wednesday, so
okay.
I will report back and let you know how I get on. But for the immediate next steps, I'm moving to Oxford at the moment. And I'm picking up some work at the university colleges there. I've got an interview with the cathedral on Monday, mm-hmm. so I'll let you know how that one goes as well. So I'm trying to pick up some regular singing work to keep that going and picking up some freelance work in London as well.
Best of luck with all of that. I'm sure it'll go well. But yes, do report back because we'd love to track your progress and go on the journey with you to an extent just to keep up with what you're doing because it all sounds fantastic. My last question for you, where's one of your favourite places to sing, either from an acoustic point of view or just from an emotional attachment point of view?
That's a really fascinating question. One of the places I really love to sing is, funnily enough, the Mount Kelly Chapel.
Oh,
because
look at
it
that.
Has, I know, and it comes full circle. I'd say if we're going to talk about, well, there's two points there, isn't it? The favourite emotional place, favourite actual place. On paper, it has a beautiful acoustic in the Mount Kelly Chapel, and I had so many firsts in that space, so many first experiences, so many first performances in formative years, and experiences that really did shape how I wanted to go forward as a singer. So if we're talking from an emotional perspective, that's really, really important. The best building I've ever sung in, funnily enough, I'm not going to say the Royal Albert Hall because it is from a technical perspective, it's so big.
It's so big.
And it's got a, you make a sound out your mouth and it just disappears into the space and you get nothing back. You know, if you stand
even with the upside down mushrooms on the ceiling.
Oh, the mushrooms, unfortunately, for a small little choir, don't really do much. So incredibly impressive building. But actually, one of the best acoustics I think that I have ever performed in would actually be St. Martin in the Fields on Trafalgar Square. We were very lucky at Christmas with the Holloway Choir to do a Christmas concert there. And that was a really, really beautiful acoustic. Some of them actually a little bit more contained because singers, we're not the, we're not a 100-piece orchestra, which you really need to fill the Albert Hall. So, I've been very fortunate to perform in some amazing places in the last 3 years with Royal Holloway. So that, technically, beautiful place. Yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic. That's probably a good place to leave this podcast to an end. Marcus Coleridge, it's been great talking to you. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for coming into school and talking to us today.
Simon, thanks so much. I really enjoyed it.